The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
This is Haymaker Combat Sports. Here, coming straight from the source. Only with the real, they ain't here to dress it up. Sweet science, MMA, you can get it all from us. Trust, 5 stars, cause it's live. And through the fight game, we can guide ya. Slick talking, putting them in caution. Passing all the guards, cause the audio is awesome. What you waiting for? Spread the word, tell a friend. This the podcast where all of the discussion ends. When they start going strike for strike, this the show that'll tell you what you've seen in the fight. They ain't playing on the mic, this a welcome to the show. Warm it up for the squad, Haymaker of the bros. I'm a bow wow, you can hear it from the pros. It's Haymaker Combat Sports on the road.
Welcome back to Haymaker Combat Sports, powered by the Belly Up Sports Media Network. I am your host, EJ Reed, joined by my fellow host, Steve Johnson, Chris Sanders. Fellas, how's it going?
Pretty good. Watching these fights this weekend and exciting stuff to talk about. And I think a lot of unexpected results. But like I said, we'll talk about that.
Oh, for sure. Definitely last night was unexpected results. But like you said, we'll get into that later in the show. What's good, Chris?
Everything's good, man. Yeah, we have some good fights to talk about. So I'm ready to dive right into it.
For sure, for sure. But before we get into that, let's talk about some news stories inside, outside of the ring that popped up on the radar recently. A few days ago, they announced it was promoter Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn that the 5-on-5 tournament is happening soon. And I think it's just strictly heavyweights, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Hearn selected 5 fighters and Warren selected 5 fighters under his Queensberry Promotions, and the best out of 5 wins. The 5 fights that make up the undercard is gonna be for the undisputed light heavyweight championship clash. It's on that undercard of that clash between Better Beeb and Dimitri Bivol, which is gonna be a banger. That's gonna be in Saudi Arabia. And I've never heard of this concept, but the fighters are gonna be in it. And one notable fighter, Deontay Wilder, he's gonna be in it. He's gonna be facing Zili Zhang.
Yeah,
and some other fighters that were announced were Daniel Dubois versus Philip Hrgovic. Who else is going to be in it? Shiraz versus Austin Williams. Craig Richards versus Willie Hutchinson to round it off. So, like, what do y'all think about this concept? Because I never really heard of something like this. What are your thoughts on this one? I'll start for you,
Steve. Yeah, let's see.
This concept I've never heard. It's very new to me. I would like to be filled in on this. If there is a similar type of format, I know probably there's elimination, but yeah, like I said, I would like to be filled in if there was any type of thing like that.
Yeah, so what I've been noticing in a couple of cities is that, you know, most times they're building their own team. Either north or south in a smaller market. So I've been watching that lately in the local fighting world. So in the small markets, I've seen that they're building a north side, a east side, a west side. Just promotions are coming together, putting their fighters against other promotions. So that's happening around the U.S. So to have it on, you know, the high level, I would say, where this big tournament right here, 5-on-5, it's pretty much has been circling in the smaller markets. I've been watching it, some in down south, some in the New York City area, Midwest too, and around Texas, that the, you know, there's small markets, they're developing, there's, you know, like local casinos and things of that nature, local gyms. Mm-hmm. A few gyms are teaming up versus other gyms and things of that nature. So they're giving all excitement fights on that standpoint in the tournament type of setting. You know, you have like green versus blue or, you know, different type of, so on a smaller market, I've seen that developing. So to see it on the, you know, the mainstream where, you know, name brand fighters are in is it's very exciting, you know, because I thought it was very exciting on a small market because, you know, you almost see a rivalry developing from certain groups. So, so it's like you tell me like, oh, I want this team, because you hear more about the fighters that come out from this camp or from this organization and things of that nature. So see it on this level with, you know, big names is pretty interesting. So this is, I think, how boxing, they practice on the lower end and now they come to the, you know, the high end to see how this tournament's taking off.
So when you see it on the lower end, Chris, how do you usually see it play out? Is it pretty successful?
Yeah, it gives the fighters more fights because you're going against teams. So there's different, you know, you can fight this person this week, the next week, the next time, you know, your team go around, you can fight another person in that division on the other squad. So it's giving people more fights. It's become more entertaining because, you know, they're practicing with their squad and pretty much is showing, like, you know, they want to have more wins than our opposing color team. So it's interesting. And, you know, you got women fighters, you got men fighters on each team. So it's, to me, they're marketing pretty well on a lower end. So I like it. I think it's good for the sport.
I think that's pretty, my bad.
No, go ahead, Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
I think that's pretty cool because not only it kind of reminds me, I don't know if I'm right, like the Olympics type of model. I think it's a way to make an individual sport a team sport. I mean, you got people around you and you're on a team. I mean, that's a way to egg your teammate on. And what else I was about to say?
About the Olympic concept.
Yeah, the Olympic concept. And there was another thing I was going to say. Oh, yeah. And based off of people don't like, a lot of people say different words, but don't want to admit they're of the same way in a way. And to me, I love boxing or combat sports. And I think in a way they're taking a martial arts approach, like dojo against this team. Like you said, it'll create a rivalry behind a so-called, like you said, a camp or a dojo. I think that's a amazing idea.
Yeah, for sure. And with this particular one that they're going to do on the B-Ball Better Be undercard, it looks like it's going to be all in one night. So I guess basically it's just a bragging rights type thing because they said best of five. So I guess whoever has the most win out of those five fights gets to be declared the victor. Who knows what that means, but it's going to be interesting, like, even if it's just for bragging rights. Like, which camp's better than the other camp? Like, who's got the better of the Warriors in there? So definitely excited to see how that goes down. But one notable name from it who put his hat in it, Deontay Wilder.
Yeah.
The Browns bomber. So y'all think this is a good thing for him, or y'all think it's a little bit underneath what he should be shooting for in the twilight of his career? I'll start off with you, Chris.
No, I think this would be perfect. I think this would bring, you know, he lost his last two fights, if I'm not mistaken, or just last one?
Yeah. I think he might have had a win in between the Fury and when he lost to Joshua. Not to Joshua. He didn't fight Joshua. It was he fought the big boy. His name's slipping my name, but yeah, he I think he got a win in between that fight and the other one.
So we've seen him lose. We've seen him win a whole bunch. So he's a fighter. So what I'm trying to say, he's not undefeated.
Joseph Parker, that's who he lost to his last one. But he had Hellenius in between the Fury fight. He won the Hellenius, he knocked Hellenius out, and then he lost to Parker.
So yeah, he's human. We see him take a couple of losses, see him get hit to the floor, and we've seen the damage he can do. So I think this gives other opportunities for other fighters to fight against him that probably wouldn't have the opportunity to. And to showcase their talent to see if they're on his level. I'm not saying he's a gatekeeper at any point. I think he's still he's actually helping this tournament. I think people are going to want to watch it to see him fight, and he's going to bring a big view to it. So I think it's perfect for him.
Steve?
I don't know. I think I can relate in past shows. And before you even said it popped in my mind. So I guess that's from my perspective, a good thing he's in it. What I was about to say is I think we talked about if he could go down in weight and make light heavyweight or even be a better fighter. And who knows? He might look so amazing. Maybe we might see like, dang, why didn't he do this the whole time? Because he looks undersized.
Well, so So even though that they on the undercard of this light heavyweight fight, all of these fighters are going to be fighting at heavyweight. So,
oh, no, heavyweight. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, okay. So.
Still good for the sport. Still.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So if he does show well, y'all think he should try to chase that Joshua fight still? Or I'll start for you, Chris.
Yeah, I think the Joshua fight's always going to be there. But just the name, those two. You know, they've been kind of clinging to each other for pretty much their whole professional career. Especially in the last 4 or 5 years, they've been linked to each other. Every other fight, we talk about them fighting each other. So I think that's in the future, like I said before. I think this is a great way to get a tournament set up, especially with the heavyweights. Because to me, you know, boxing always starts off with the big boys anyway, before we start looking at the lower classes. So, you know, once you get that in mainstream, get that going, you know, the lower divisions have a ton of fighters that can develop tournaments at any moment. So it is good for boxing.
Steve?
And say that question again.
I'm saying, do you think he should still be chasing that Joshua fight if he is able to get the win out of this?
I think it's like the Holy Trinity. That's all they have before in a short time. You know, they all have to have wins to keep, because there's the few boxers that have that stardom name, you know, Joshua, Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury. Anything outside of that is really not on their stardom level. So I think so. And I think they depend on more on each other than they think. Because if one keeps on losing, then we only just got two good known stardom heavyweights. To me, my opinion, from me as a boxing fan.
Yeah. I mean, but then you also got to think about Usyk, and he's got that clash with Fury, so you can't forget about him when talking about, like you said, the Trinity, but throw Usyk in there as well.
One of them might get replaced real easily if they, one of them keep, you know, takes a loss too, also, yeah. I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, but Wilder's like 38, 39, so.
Yeah,
all the time's undefeated, time's ticking. So, I mean, he's already been a champion. Like, I bet his legacy is pretty much cement in stone. But you don't want, like, when they're talking about the greats, you don't want to be third in place. You maybe try to always get for the top. And right now, Fury's at the top of the heap. And you know, Usyk may make his case for being there after this fight happens next month, which we'll talk about preview later. But I'm excited to see, man. It's always good when the heavyweight division is healthy. It's healthy for the sport of boxing. So we always want that to be the case. But before we move on, so it's an interesting quote from Wilder when he was talking about this fight coming up. He says, "Y'all gonna see the old Wilder back." And I always thought that was an interesting concept when you hear fighters or say like, "You gonna see the old, you know, me back," because in combat sports in general, it's all about evolving. So you think this is like a good for him to say that? I feel like you should say like it should be a new improved you, trying to improve on yourself, not the old you.
Well, I think he's going into, you know, taking out his opponent, being aggressive early. You know, he, in the last couple of fights, he hasn't been so aggressive so early. When we first know Wilder, he was knocking people out early within 5 rounds or so, getting them out of there, being aggressive, going right forward. So, you know, he's got more in a boxing stance, sitting back, going on defense, backing up, trying to outbox people, trying to show his skills. But I think when he means that comment, he's going after it. I think he's just going for the knockouts, trying to get rid of his opponent. That's how I read it, if that's a comment.
Should that be like the approach he takes, though, Chris? Like,
I mean, that's what makes us love him. I mean, that's why he was so excited in the beginning, just like Mike Tyson, right? We didn't see Mike Tyson box with people for a long time. We saw him get people out in the first 3 rounds, right? And that's what everybody was excited about. We got to knock him out. When he got to knock him out, Wilder, same effect. We always saw him, he was knocking people out left and right. So I think that's what he wants to get back to, that strength he has using his ability in the ring. I think he was trying to show that he's a boxer, which he is. He has a really good talent, but I think he needs to get back to his old ways and get rid of his opponents very early.
Steve, what do you think about that?
I think that may be good because just a lot of combat sports, especially boxing, I think people start to learn new things and they fall in love with it. It's like getting a new toy, like, damn, man, I love this new left hook technique, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. But if you get too obsessed with it, it gets you away from your true self of what you got there. And I think he may be a good example of that. Although he looked and he's been criticized for his technique, I think he worked on that, but I think that got him away from his core of who he was.
Mm-hmm. So what about people that said he never learned how to box? All he knows how to do is punch. You don't think he should shut those critics up?
No, I mean, dual works, you know. He was undefeated, but he had like 27 knockouts in a row, something like that. That's a crazy stat right there. So now just go back, you know, just go back to what you're used to. I mean, this is what he is. He gets people out early. Who cares about what they say about stands, his hand movement? But, you know, it was working. That 20-plus knockouts in a row definitely works.
But like, if he does get that Joshua fight, didn't Francis Ngannou show him the mold that's not going to work? Just trying to get somebody out there early, you got to show some skill in there.
There is, but that's the thing about Wilder. Wilder got skills. It's not like Wilder just jumped into this yesterday. Wilder has skills. We seen him on his back foot. We seen him get knocked to the floor and get back up. You know what I mean? He got skills.
I never really seen him like work a jab though like that.
I think that's his main punches. I think he's a 1-2. Maybe three. He's not really throwing loopies. He's going straight down the middle. So he's going through the 1-2, sand you up, 1-2, sand you up, maybe three. He might throw an uppercut, maybe a 4 or 5, but that's very rare. He's going straight through the middle, right through the guard, trying to knock you out. So, and he's been in harm's way. It's not like he hasn't been touched. He's been on the floor. He's been touched before. He's been battle tested. So not like, you know, he got the long frame. He has the ability to do it. He got the knockout power, the speed. For a big guy, he can move pretty quickly. I think he showed his boxing. I mean, we expect the big boys to be as fast as Mayweather, strong as, you know, Muhammad Ali. Like, for his size, he's perfect. I think.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely be on the lookout for what happens with that, but I think it's a fun concept. But fellas, let's move into some of these quick hits that we have. So it's three fights that I want to talk about. They all happened back on March 30th. Since the last show we had was sometime early in March. The first one in that super welterweight division, we had Tim Zhu versus Sebastian Fundora. And what's interesting about this, it wasn't supposed to be Fundora in this fight. It's supposed to be Chris's boy, one-time Keith Thurman, fighting Tim Zhu. And this is supposed to be the coronation of Tim Zhu, Australian dude, somebody they thought was going to be next up. In steps, Sebastian Fundora, that 154 division, this kid is 6'6". Mm. You don't see that happen often, somebody that tall. Mm. He went in there, and he got the upset. But what was interesting in that second round, Tim Zhu accidentally walked into that elbow of Fundora. It wasn't Fundora's fault. You know, Tim Zhu just led head first, and that affected his vision for all of the fight. And Fundora is just working that jab from the outside, just working the punches from the outside, was able to grind out that win. I'll start for you, Chris. What were your thoughts on this one?
Why wasn't Keith Thurman able to fight? What happened to him?
Injury, I think. I may be misspeaking, but I think it was injury.
That's what I'm trying to look up real quick. What happened to him? Well, you know, he showed up as a replacement and he pulled up the upset. That's what you want. I mean, you live for those opportunities. There's some people in the gym right now that are just waiting for an opportunity like this. Just like Luis. He was waiting for that opportunity to go against Joshua. You know, he was always ready. You just never know. There's some fighters that just are in that range where they're dangerous, too dangerous to fight, where a lot of people don't want to pick them to fight against, but they're always ready to fight. So they're just waiting for the back end where someone doesn't, you know, they can't make it that day on the card. They're right there. Hey, call us up. We're here. We're ready. We want this fight. And they take anything on short notice. So those are actually the scary fights, because when you're booking a fight and you're already preparing for this one fighter, then midway or three quarters into it, he gets hurt, and now you got to prepare for someone else that's been in the gym, that's been focused, been looking, that has your name clocked on there. They'll watch trying to get to where you're at. It can be really scary times for you. It can really be tough. So that's what I think happened.
Yeah, I mean, so you think it's just that he didn't have any time to prepare for this style of dude?
No, it's just sometimes those dudes that we don't hear about are you know, just on that level where, you know, they're kind of scary to fight. You don't want to really go around it because you can take that L, because they're ready. These guys in the gym, you see he's in shape. He's ready for this moment. He wasn't overweight. You know, there's people in the gym right now that we don't know. They're just, hey, waiting for someone to get hurt. There's some people hoping that, you know, either Ryan or the other kid got hurt for the fight, because they showed up. You know, that's what there's some people are just in the gym. I've been in gyms where they're like, who's your next fight? I don't know. I'm just saying ready, just in case they call me. You know, there's people just like that, ready. So, hungry.
Steve, what are your thoughts on this one?
So I guess that brings another meaning to people waiting for you to fall.
Pretty much,
Well, I saw Fandor, the tall guy, he was popping his jab, and it looked like Tim Tzu was having a good beginning of the fight.
I forgot to mention that Tim Tzu was looking good in the early round. He showed there was like a difference in power until he got cut. So go ahead, Steve, I didn't mean to cut you off.
And seeing cuts like that and stuff, to me, I think that decides a lot. And it doesn't decide who you are as a man or fighter, but I believe there's like different types of fighters. When those cuts happen, you either panic or it upsets you. And I think he chose to bite down on the guard piece and, you know, fight like a warrior. But I think it affected him outside of his normal concentration, which probably let in the blood in the eyes and stuff, all that, because I think that was on his top of his forehead, right?
I want to say they kept trying to, you know, put the stuff to make it stop bleeding, but it was just too deep. It was bleeding
big for glob. The rest of the butt.
Big
glob of Vaseline. So the tall dude kept on pumping the jab, and you can see Sue was able to pop off those bigger shots. But I think Fandor was able to get his bigger shots off and get those annoying jabs and keep his distance. He wasn't able to keep his distance in the beginning, but I think it all changed with that cut.
Definitely. That would definitely change the fight. So this was for that welterweight, I think it was the WBC super welterweight title. And it goes to the young kid, Fandora. He's only 26. So Tim Tzu, they were always trying to line him up to fight the little Charlo. And then you got Bud Crawford going up to 154. So where does this put Tzu in the pecking order now, Chris, now that he lost that? How does he bounce back from losing to a young kid like that?
I mean, impressive from the young kid. He's coming off a loss too, so this was a must-win for him, especially at this stage. So he needed this more than
Tzu.
He needed this way more, because he's coming off a loss, very bad loss, his first loss, and now he's going on this next big stage and has to be a replacement. So he's kicked to lose again.
Yeah, that kid got knocked out too. So yeah, it was definitely a good bounce back fight.
So this was a great bounce back. Sure. But for Tim itself, it's a setback, to be honest with you. I know he's probably let down. I know he's probably looking forward for the Keith Thurman fight. That was probably more noticeable name wise. That probably would have helped his resume more. So to not get that fight and then to take this fight and then take a loss, it must hurt. he ain't signed up for this. on that note.
You think he should probably just try to run it back with Keith Thurman and actually do the actual fight?
Now, but I don't know his negotiation now that he just took a loss. I'm sure Keith Thurman's gonna be talking a little bit different to him.
So what do you see the upside for Fandora, Chris?
He's young. I mean, he got the height. He's young. He got to keep using his jab. I mean, he showed, you know, he can still get touched, which is not really good for him. You know, you can touch him, but, you know, with that height, he's there for a while. You know, I love his bounce back. This is how you respond, you know, taking that loss that you took, and now you're bouncing back for this. I like it.
For sure. I'm definitely excited to see where the kid goes. He's still young, got a bright future to look ahead. But let's talk about the co-main event on the same card. We had Isaac Pitbull Cruz defeating Rolly Romero by TKO in the 8th round. And out the gate, Cruz hurt Rolly Romero at the end of that 1st round, and he hurt him again at the end of that 7th round, and then was able to get him out of there in that 8th round. So before we talk about Rolly Romero in general, what were your thoughts on this fight, Chris?
A lot more talk than, you know, than the bite. I think he just realized there's different levels to this, and I think he got humbled. I think he got humbled by this, not taking Pitbull as serious as most people do. Even just Pitbull, I think now that people are going to take him a little bit more serious. I mean, they do know that he's a fighter, but, you know, sometimes you bite more than you talk more than you want, you know. So I think it was a wake-up call for one of the fighters. That, all right, there's levels to this.
Definitely. Steve, what are your thoughts on this one?
Man, I don't know if you look, literally nothing said in the fight, but I don't know if it's his personality matches up with his fight, but it's like, I don't know, it's just other boxers, him, it seems like he don't know how to react to a punch, and like he gets all, oh shit, he got me, okay, and then he gets like, okay, I'm getting my stance ready, and it's like he can't, I don't know, it's like usually I see fighters hit and they poof, back up, okay, you got me, him is like, oh, and then trying to circle away from the hit, like, oh, actually I didn't like that, and he literally has those reactions. Maybe he's used to those levels of not getting hit that hard or being able to evade, and then he's into these levels of these fighters. And maybe Gervonta, like we saw him, like, okay, maybe he was more liable to get hit. And not saying Cruz was any lesser of an opponent, but he just seems to get hit these same ways and react. He seems like he can't dodge these overhands. He got caught with them overhands over and over, and it seems like he can't dodge the bigger punches that you should dodge. I mean, I don't know, sacrifice getting hit with jabs just to pay attention to the overhands, because that's one that's causing him trouble. I don't know what his module is, but like Chris said, I think he's in those levels, especially to be beat by these fighters now back to back. What level is he on?
Yeah. So yeah, I think he's like at the B minus level right now. You know, he could sell because he talks a lot. He's flat, you know, very flashy. You know, in the opponent's face, he could sell a fight. But you know, when he's fighting right now, like you just said, his awareness of the ring, his poker face is not really there. You can tell when you hurt him. He shows it. Most fighters can show a better poker face than him. He loses composure, it seems like, when he does get hit with some big hits. And he's like, oh, like he just wakes up and it's like, hey, dude, you know who you're fighting against, right? Like, these guys are coming here to knock you out. So it does look concerning as when you're watching, like, oh, wow. And he, you know, it plays into the crowd of us seeing him get hurt. So it's like, oh, you know, for us, when he could play off some of those and maybe make the fight look a little bit better on his end.
So let's get into Rolly Romero, because like Chris said, he's a big talker, and that's 140 division is kind of crowded because you got all those kids that came up from 130. You got the Tank Davises, now the Garcias, the Haneys, Teofimo Lopez, and Rolly Romero wanted to put his name in a hat with these guys, but by that fight that he just had last, the way he lost, I don't know if he wants to mix it up with those guys. Now, I don't see anything that will put him on the level of these guys. So what do y'all think about Rolly Romero now? And then coming off that his last fight against Oh Boy, where it was that premature stoppage against Barroso, and now that early stoppage that shouldn't have been really stopped. I don't know, man, about Rolly Romero. What do you think about this cat, Chris, as far as
going? Like I said, he got a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk over there right now. He shows me where he's at. I think he's a B-minus fighter. I'm not knocking him. But it's not a bad to be a B-minus fighter. He could sell out. He can make some money. You know, he's very – like, people still want to hear him. He talks a lot. Like, he can sell a fight, which is great for him. But being on the level, yeah, he can fight in front of big crowds. He can sell it. But performing at a high level seems like he gets in those situations. When he gets hit pretty hard, you know, he kind of doesn't want to be in it, and he can show up to it. So I don't know about his, you know, he doesn't want to give up. He seems like he's a warrior. He's ready to get knocked out. And I respect that about him. But, you know, I think he needs to work on his defense a little bit, sharpen up. Offensively, you know, he's big. He throws punches. I'm not saying he doesn't throw any punches. He's going in there trying to fight. But, you know, when he gets hit, you know, that's all out the door. Defense, we just go away.
I agree. Steve, how do you think Romero would react to taking a Tank Davis punch?
Oh man, who the hell hit me? Which one of y'all which one of y'all said to kick me? Which one of y'all punch me? That's what he was saying. I can understand people leaking footage on a detailed level. This, okay, which one of these? These are undefeated. Like, he's been losing, and people are releasing footage of him getting knocked out in sparring. I don't know if y'all have seen that. To me, I believe certain people based off their personality, because he seems like somebody that has stardom, but you really like, man, he talking. You become a sort of haze based off his egotistical mindset, and you're like, let's release his. He doesn't have respect in the boxing community, I guess, because of his mouth, and he's not backing it up. So people are like, man, let me release this sparring footage where he got knocked out. And you really don't see that with elite fighters, you know, unless they. Two fighters are trying to leak something about each other. Somebody randomly threw that out.
Yeah. No, you nailed it. I don't think they respect them. That's what it is. yeah, that's why I call him a B-level fighter. Like, now, unfortunately, maybe it could be a good thing for him too, because this is extra money. I can see him as a new gatekeeper of fighting those new fighters. You know, when you get past him, if you get beat pinned, he might got two fights there where, you know, they might be noticeable of people he fights or some newcomers, because he's still young. So he might be that upper B, like I said, at B level. He's a B level fighter. So once you fight him, then you can start looking at the other fighters in that are a little higher than him. So I think he's a B level, and then after you beat him or you fight against him and you throw up a good fight, then you start looking at A level fighter. I think he becomes a gatekeeper low key.
So Chris, how detrimental is it to lose the respect of your peers like that?
It's an eye opener to you, because I think he thought he's on their level. And I think once you realize there's levels to it, you're not there. Like that new gatekeeping situation, he has to be open to it, because now that's going to be coming his way. Or before people want to fight him, or they was too scared of him. Because there's a point where you become a B-level fighter and it's like, oh, he's a scared B-level. He's a high-end. I don't want to fight him because he can ruin me or he can bring me up. Like a pit bull. Like you don't want to fight him because he's almost at that B-plus, A-minus level where he could beat you. You know, it's a possibility you could lose. So he's a scary fight. You're not just pulling him out the hat trying to fight him. So he's at the tear. But for him, he's at the bottom of that, where now fighters might, oh, you want to fight me? All right, cool. I'll fight you. So he might take fights that might not be super A-level, but, you know, could be, you know, if he takes any more L's, it could be almost, you know, going backwards in his career.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, I mean, I guess it's not really anything bad about being a gatekeeper. A gatekeeper still gets his money. You get a couple million to fight and give me my money and put some butts in some seats and make a good living like that. But yeah, but he does need to pipe down with all that chirping he does now that you got put out the paint like that. Yeah. Pitbull got him out the paint, so it'll be interesting to see how he does moving forward. But this last quick hit, let's get into that. We had Zudo Ramirez defeating Arzen Gulamirian by unanimous decision. And he is now the first Mexican to ever win 168 at super middleweight and now cruiserweight. And in this fight, he was putting the pressure on Gulamirian. He was just moving forward, power punching, all in his face. That type of Mexican style that they take pride in. And Chris, what was your thoughts on this one?
Man, like, you just nailed it right there, that Mexican fight right there. Just coming in your face, throwing a whole bunch of punches, staying right there, just continuously going and going. This brings any opponent like, what am I doing? You know, it doesn't feel like you can get them off you. Once the offense becomes too powerful, that becomes your defense now, your offense, because it's just too much of a high class, too many punches, and now you're not worrying about, you know, your offense, you're worrying about protecting yourself and staying away from this individual. So high offense can change your whole opponent's mentality. That's what he did to change this all up, made him fight his game, and came up with a win. That's what you want to do.
I definitely agree. So Ramirez came up to 200. Like I said, he's the first Mexican to win a world title in that division. And then a few years ago, you had Andy Ruiz. He was the first Mexican to win a belt at that. So I want to ask both of y'all, you usually see the Mexican fighters at the lower weight classes. Do y'all think this is a trend? You think we see more Mexican fighters at these higher weight class? I'll start with you, Steve.
I think it takes that to start a movement. Like I said, few and far between. You got to find heavyweights. Not only that like boxing, not only that, in that area to where has boxing culturally has made a stamp. And obviously the places where it's popular had a stamp there geographically faster than the Mexican population. But I think it's picking up. And like you said, the lower weight classes, they always been there. But it's good to see in boxing, other cultures and country being introduced into the heavyweight pool. You know, it creates more stories, more rivalries between countries, you know, like they have in boxing. I think it's amazing.
Chris?
Yeah, the same. There's not too many big, just naturally, there's not that many big Mexicans. And if they are big, they're not really heavy set, pretty skinny if they are too tall. So to be a heavyweight or a cruiserweight or anything in that division, anything over welterweight as a Mexican, it's very impressive because they're not that many big in their weight class. So you know if they do have a boxer or a fighter in those divisions, they're going to come with it because if you look at their lower weight, that's all they do. They come forward, they fight, they want to fight. They don't know how to back down. They don't know how to run away in the ring. Out of like 9 out of 10 Mexican fighters, not even 10 out of 10 Mexican fighters, all they do is come forward. They throw a lot of punches. So they're always exciting to watch. Always the knockout artists, I call them, because their style of fighting. So if they get anybody higher in the big divisions and they can fight, you know they're going to come forward. They're going to have a lot of hand speed, a lot of and they don't slack in that division. Even with the big guys, you know, they come with the hand speed. They come with the fighting technique. So keep moving forward. So they're excited, good fighters.
Yeah, I think it's good for the sport. I'm excited to see it happen. We see it happen, you know, slowly but surely. You got Canelo Alvarez. He's always been moving up in weight. He's first with that 175, 168, 160 division. You got David Benavidez. Him at 168, he's a monster there. So just spread him out and let's keep it going. The more you do it, the more they'll come. So I'm excited for it, and I'm excited to see more come in the future. But fellas, let's get into this fight that happened Saturday night. who y'all came for. Devin Haney versus a guy, Ryan Garcia. And Ryan Garcia got the upset, the majority decision win. I don't think anybody expected this, but I was excited to watch the fight, man. And Ryan Garcia out of the gate landed that big left hook in the first round at Rock Haney. Round two, Haney settled back in, you know, was able to do what he did and, you know, work the jab some. But in round three, I think it was Haney in round three that actually stunned Garcia, but I may be mistaken. But round four was that cool off round. And then round five, Haney settled back in and was working the jab. And then round six, that was a big one. Ryan Garcia showed glimpses all throughout that round and landed that big shot. I think this was the round where he should have got him out of there. And, you know, that would have been a TikTok moment, but he didn't really put his foot on the gas like I think he should have. But then when you go to round seven, Garcia dropped Haney with that left hook, but got that point taken away for punching on the break. I thought that was a weird moment in the fight when he was punching on the break. I'll get your thoughts on that, Chris, a little bit later. And then just skipping to round 10, Haney got dropped with a left hook in the corner and then got stunned with another one later on in that round. And then in round 11, Garcia dropped Haney again. And every time Haney got dropped, he just didn't look good. He looked like he was just like a newborn cat, like on his skates. And like it was weird to see. He just didn't react well. And it was a closer fight because of the fight that he wasn't getting knocked down. Haney was doing well. One judge had it as a tie. It was a majority decision. So we didn't expect this out of Garcia, but he was able to shock the world. And I'll let you start this one off, Chris. Like, what do you think about this fight?
Confidence. These guys fought, I think, multiple times as an amateur. So this is not his first time actually seeing them. They sparred each other as well. So they've been in the ring with some time together. I think Garcia won some as a kid too in those amateur fights. So he's seen beating him before. Know how to feel to beat him. Know how even though they're younger, just had the ability to fight against him. You know, you remember those times. And Garcia, you know, shout out to him. Could be the boy that cried wolf, showing us all this Instagram stuff. But at the same time, he looked stronger the whole fight. He looked strong. He looked comfortable in there. He only has a few tricks on. You know, he has two really good hands, two moves we say that he uses, and it was effective. Both of his straight right and his hook were there the whole time for him. Haney had no questions, no answers for it. He looked smaller. He looked like he didn't really want to be in there. Even if they got close up, like Garcia could push him off. Garcia just looked bigger and stronger. He just looks bigger.
Steve?
Yeah. He got in there and got it done. Not only the first knockdown, it not only every time he got knocked down, I saw that. Like I said, I know boxing just to know to my knowledge. It seems like every time you try to react to getting knocked down or to his punches, it seemed like not only his legs, but his accuracy wasn't there to counter. I thought he was trying to throw that overhand right to counter. I'm like, damn, that was nowhere. That was like to his damn chest. And obviously, I think it was to his head. And I think his equilibrium was off ever since then. And I think, to me, I was egging for Devin Haney to most likely win, but like Garcia as a boxer was watching it. I just started to become neutral and then started kind of rooting for him. I felt like the ref at the time, maybe I was wrong, was kind of helping him at the time. I was like, man, let him get that knockdown. I don't know if y'all felt that way. They kept calling it a slip.
Yeah, that was weird. I thought it was a knockdown. He kept calling it a slip.
I think it happened like more than one time.
Yeah, it happened multiple times. And he was like hugging him. Like, I thought he was just using him like to not be called a knockdown. They just kept calling a slip because he was getting hit. And then he was like grabbing on him. Looked like he was trying to hold himself up. Haney was trying to hold himself up with Garcia. It was weird.
So just like the regardless of his message, he made a big big explosion for his name. And just like Space Jam and all of them, the talent went in the basketball, except the talent, he took his mojo, man. He took his fame from yesterday. So I believe that happened. So I think Garcia regained his loss with Gervonta and put his stardom back into the stardom pool of the boxers.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Garcia was looking like almost a gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. Almost the guy that you was like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like he was becoming on that B level fighter. Not saying that, you know, you gotta think he's back in the B plus. Definitely pulled up the upset. Great for him. I know he's on like cloud nine. Can't almost believe in himself in a sense, even though he can't believe because he jumped in that ring to do that. But yeah, I think this is what he needed. Garcia needed this because he was.
How he won? Do you think him missing weight affect the 3.5 pounds, or do people are gonna shrug that to the side?
I think you can shrug that to the side. It's a big deal as a professional to always make your fight. But I think when you're going into this and you're the underdog, you need to take every advantage you can. And you know what? Maybe not tricking your mind. You know what? I'm not gonna go crazy trying to make this weight. I'm just going to go as low as I can. If I make it, I make it. I don't. I'll make this bet, whatever it is. I'm coming here to fight. And then the confidence you come from there, you still got to fight, right? You still sign a contract. There's a way you can still back out. I don't know how they could have at that weight. Or, you know, I think Garcia had all like maybe a million and some change, I think. But, you know, whatever that bet was, but still the mental is just like, you know, I'm coming here. I'm going as strong as I can. I'm doing what I can do and whatever. I'm here. I'm ready to fight. Mm-hmm. I don't have nothing to do with it because, to be honest with you, I like Haney losing. Haney losing.
What?
Because it showed us a lot about him. You know, he got knocked down so many times. He got back up. He kept fighting the whole night. And he to come out of it, it wasn't like he got mobbed. There's still a chance for him to still win this fight. You know what I'm saying?
One judge thought it was a tie. I said.
It was close. So the rematch is gonna be entertaining. And if Haney can win that one, then we're definitely gonna get a three.
But like you just talked about it just a snail, Chris, but you said Garcia just liked the bigger fight. Don't you think that 3.5 pounds played into that and looked like the bigger fighter?
The 3.5 pounds, he just looked bigger, period. You know, like when I saw Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather for the first time, Mayweather looked bigger than Pacquiao. Like it didn't even matter. The time they got close, he just pushed them off like it was nothing. It's almost like the Crawford versus Spence. This Crawford just looked like he could take his punches. Even though Spence imaginably seemed like he would have been a bigger fighter, it didn't look like that in the ring. And that's what we saw there. Like, looks can be deceiving. That pound and a half, yeah, whatever. But Garcia, stance-wise, strength-wise, pushing them off, taking the punches. When they got close, really wasn't holding, could push them off with his gloves. You know, that showed a lot. And like you said, you know, once he got hit in the head, it didn't seem like he was all there anyway. He was a little lobby. Didn't have his legs all in the fight. So we'll see. I think he showed a lot of ability as a fighter, as a warrior, to keep fighting. Because, you know, when you never touch the floor and you've been talking all that shit to somebody and you finally touch the floor for the first time in your fight that you ever fought on a national television stage against a guy that you thought you could beat, you know, it wakes you up. So I now I'm judging you to see, all right, how you going to react to this? Are you going to give up? Are you going to fold? Who are you really as a fighter? And we got to see really good glance of him as a fighter. Like a lot of people give AB a little hard time, but that fight that he did against, Madonna, I thought that showed a lot of warrior in him because he could have gave up, but he kept getting up, still was fighting, his, you know, still was in there throwing punches, was getting knocked down. And I like to see that from these fighters, even if they're losing, keep going forward. You know, he still had a chance to win, so I think the rematch is going to be good.
You think a lot of times that the fighters, like you said, AB and now Haney, the reason that they get up is not for themselves, really, is because they don't want it to be a clip on IG or on TikTok or something. It's more so they don't want to be embarrassed.
No, that could be the point, but at the same time, they're warriors. I mean, that's, we got to respect that. There's a lot of people that get hit like that. They don't get back up, or they don't want to. You'd be like, damn, he could have got up. He probably took that knee. I'm going to stay down here, though. That shit hurt him. Danny Haney was hurt yesterday. Clearly didn't want to be in there. Clearly hated the whole moment. There's a time when you're in there and you're like, I can't win. It doesn't matter. I can't win. And you're still trying to keep the game plan going, and the rounds keep going. You're losing. You're losing. You're getting hit. You're getting clipped. You're getting hit to the floor. It's just not going at night. But this to go through tonight as a professional and keep fighting and not, you know, not throwing in the towel on your own, or your, even your corner believed in you to keep going. So, you know, tap their hat off to their camp. They believe in them.
Yeah. So, like you said, you think it's probably going to be a rematch with this? You think they may do a best of three?
I think if Haney can pull this one off, I think he has to be more tech. I think he has to outbox Garcia. But, you know, if he gets hit with that right hand, you know, because, you know, Haney can get touched. It's not like Haney can't get touched. We've seen him get touched. We've seen him get punched. He can take punches and, you know, clearly got knocked to the floor. But he got to be able to take on that power, I think. He just fighting. It just looked like Garcia was bigger in his stance. He just looked like he had a long frame, even though it's not. That's not the case. I think Garcia probably got like an inch over him in height. But he just seemed bigger. He seemed strong. And I don't think that 1.5 inch, I mean, pound, is really the case of his success. I think he just felt more comfortable in it.
So the pre-fight answers from Garcia, he was drinking wine, talking about child predators and stuff. So y'all think he's playing possum with the public? And then his performance was like, you know, psych, I got y'all. Y'all thought I was crazy, but I was really locked in. Y'all think he was playing possum with the public?
No, I think he was doing a little bit of both. I think he was locked in, and those situations was really taking place in his life. And, you know, now that we got these phones, you can get people real life, you know, content of what's going on in your everyday life. I mean, this is a new world that we live in. Before, we want to see camps like this or see what's really going inside. We just see clips on what's going on the Showtime or HBO series and things of that nature. But now that everybody got their own phone, got their own pretty much media camp, you know, you could just turn on your phone and boom, we're live to your day-to-day life and what's really going on with you. So I think they can both go on. I think he has his camp to keep him locked in on what we're here to do. And then, you know, he has his own personal thing going on in life. So it's just like all of us. We go to work, we do what we got to do at work, and then we all have our own personal thing, our own personal life outside of work as well. So pretty much what we saw.
Steve, what do you think about Garcia's pre-fight antics and how it played into this fight?
Yeah, for what it's worth, I can say he used both, because at the end of the day, you can say anything out there, but I guess awareness for what he's saying, care for the children, I'm down for that. Anybody else is, you can say anything, and probably a less of a message, we're entertained, but for at least a message, I guess that's a good one. And I think, like I said, doing that, whether people thought he was crazy or not, it's rare where you can tell the truth. And if people don't believe you or not, that's public free promo right there. And then on top of that win, we'll see four to see how outside events that aren't involved with boxing or possibly involved in the future, see how things go down. And then if so, oh my gosh, look at his stock go up. He might be strategic, you know, just telling the truth in his heart, and strategically it's just going to be work out just by maybe some of these things may be true.
For sure. Well, he impressed me last night, and they have a lot of talent in that 140 division, and I think we're going to see them progress, and I think we're going to see this group of kids, I don't want to call them kids, they're men now, but progress to that 147 division, and we're going to see them, you know, they probably end up 154. And Ryan Garcia, like you said, people saw him as like the B-minus after his last fight against Tank, but he put his name right back up there. So he might get that Tank rematch. We might see him mix it up with Teofimo, and I'm excited to see where it goes in the future. Definitely a big win for Garcia.
Because if I'm not mistaken, he was winning that Tank fight until he got knocked out, right? He was up on the cards on the Tank fight.
I got to go back and watch that.
Yeah, like, he was up on the cards.
So many fights in between. Like, it's hard to remember. You might be right, though. I'd have to go back and watch that. But talented kid, he just got to keep his head on straight and don't worry about what people on social media think. Just do you, and the results will come. Just keep putting that hard work on. But, fellas, it's a lot of fights that's going to happen in the future. We got Canelo fighting in a couple weeks, and we got Lomachenko fighting in a week. But the big match that we're going to preview here for the next show that we do, Tyson Fury versus Alexander Usyk for the undisputed heavyweight title. I think Fury is the WBC champion, and then Usyk has the rest of the belts. This is a fight that people have been waiting for. So I'm going to get our predictions on this one. But before we get in that, what do you think Fury's road to victory would be in this one, Chris?
He has to outbox him. It's going to be outbox him. It's going to be tough. Because who's the champ? Usyk, right?
Usyk has the other three belts, but Fury has a WBC and he's the lineal championship, something that he's had for like the past 10 years now, lineal championship.
I think he's just going to have to outbox him. I think that's his key to victory, just be the better boxer in the ring.
So people who have been kind of criticizing Fury, how he showed out against Francis Ngannou. So does he have to just go back to being himself, just being the awkward boxer, I guess?
I think that's a little bit about Fury. It's, you know, you just don't know what you get. And then when he turns it on, he turns into the boxer, and then he starts out boxing people. And you're like, oh, shit, this guy's really who he is. That's what he got to just stick to, just outboxing people. He's got the frame. He got the length. Get the jab going. And then when he puts the combinations together, it's always a trouble for somebody. So you just got to do that. Just outbox people. I think he'll be fine.
And on the other side of things, we got Usyk, who's going to clearly come in as the smaller guy. What does he have to do to get this win over Fury?
Aggressive. Get right into his chest. Put Fury on the ropes. Try to change directions on him. Just really get into his play. Don't let Fury set up. Don't let him get no jabs. Just really get into him. Get to his chest. Get him into corners. Pound him. Hit him. You can touch Fury. So you just got to get to him.
For sure. So with that being said, who you think is going to win this one, Chris?
Fury, though. Not Fury.
You got Fury?
Yeah.
How come you think Fury?
I just think he's just a better boxer overall for me. I think, you know, I'm always going with the boxers in the fights. I don't like my chances when I see someone has to be more of a warrior. I like the people that can actually box a little bit more. I'm not saying that Fury's outclassing him in boxing. But I think he just got more of the talent to do so. His advantage is there. The boxer's more prevalent than the other.
Steve, who you got in this one?
I would have to see some more Usyk fights, but based off of how many Fury fights, and if he comes there that day to box, I'm going for Fury. Because like you said, all he has to do is stay long, aggravate him with the jab, stay on the outside, catch him off guard with combinations and boom, and then get back on the outside footwork, and that's basically has been his bread and butter. Any all his fights, that's all he has to do. I believe Usyk, if he has a chance, he has to find a way to get in there, and he might have to make it dirty.
So you got Fury as well, Steve?
Yeah.
I'm not sleeping on Usyk, man. He showed me the skills against those two fights that he has against Anthony Joshua. He beat Joshua decisively, so this is going to be a good fight. But with that being said, I'm going with Fury too. I'm going with the Gypsy King, just because I don't know. Just when I see with him, he got Klitschko out of it. He was the first to get over that Klitschko mountain, and man, those wars with Wilder, when people thought Wilder's just going to go in there and knock him out. He's just a big guy. He's got an awkward style. It's hard. He just puts that weight up on you and just, like you, like Chris said, just outboxes you. And I think he just might just be too much for Usyk to overcome. But I think it's going to be a good one. Like I said, I won't be surprised if Usyk is able to figure out that puzzle and get the win. But it's definitely going to be a good one. And let's see who the king of the heavyweights is. I bet a lot that Joshua was looking to probably face the winner of this one, after, even though Joshua, he beat Francis Ngannou, not like a traditional boxer, but that was a big high profile fight. So let's see Joshua go against the winner of this one. I'm excited to see it. But it's a lot of fights going on in boxing right now, and it's an exciting time of the year coming up this summer. And then, you know, we got Mike Tyson fighting later on this summer. We'll talk about that when that happens. That's not too July. And then I think Bud Crawford just announced a fight at 154. So it's a lot of exciting things going on in boxing right now. But we'll definitely be back next month to talk about these big fights coming up. And that'll do it for us here at Haymaker Combat Sports. Make sure to follow us on all the social media platforms, the IGs, also on Spotify, Apple, and all of those platforms. But until next time, be safe out there. Later.
This is Haymaker Combat Sports. Here, coming straight from the source. Only with the real, they ain't here to dress it up. Sweet science, MMA, you can get it all from us. Trust, 5 stars, 'cause it's live.